we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. Tell you what, if you enjoy Christian radio, I want to encourage you to do something. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. I have a friend. He's a missionary now, but he's actually from the country that he's from natively, the country that he's now a missionary in. He and his family moved to America, and when they moved here, they were communist and they were atheist, and there was a lot of bad stuff going on in their lives, and he started working on a golf course. Wasn't here in Brevard County, but as a result of finding Christian radio, he gave his heart to the Lord. His wife gave her heart to the Lord. They got called into the ministry, and it all goes back to Christian radio. And so I would encourage you to tell somebody about it that doesn't necessarily listen to this on as part of their regular listening habits. A lot of people now fill their ears with whatever's on their iPod and all of that sort of stuff. That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing. I've seen some people walking down the street and they were talking out loud, not realizing that people were paying attention, and the words that they were quoting weren't godly. They weren't edifying. And it's like, oh my goodness, they need to have something different coming into their ears. What you have coming into your ears affects what comes out of your mouth. And so if you had a favorite restaurant, if there was a new restaurant that came into town or a restaurant you had just discovered and you had a great experience there, you would tell somebody about that. So I want to encourage you today on this week of freedom that we're celebrating here to share with somebody the reality that the Word of God is preached, and it will pay dividends in their spiritual life. It'll pay dividends in their marriage. It'll pay emotional benefits, occupational benefits. It will do a great deal. And so as we're celebrating this week of freedom, if you want to know what you should appreciate, spend some time talking to someone that has moved here from a country where they do not have the freedoms that we have here in America. And they will treasure those freedoms probably greater than you and I do, because we tend to take things for granted. So we want to say thank you to God for the freedoms that we have here in America. So avail yourself of those. So we're here on this week of freedom. And once again, I'll just take just a moment to let you know if for our military personnel and family, friends of military personnel, if you would like a free copy of the Warrior Study Bible, contact us via mail or phone call or internet communication email. You can contact us via our website, merrittassembly.com. You can contact us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. A lot of ways you can get in touch with us. You can even, here's a novel idea. You could even visit one of our services. You don't have to. They're absolutely free. No strings attached. Doesn't even have Merritt Assembly of God stamped in it. We just want to bless those who've given so much for our freedom here in America, that we want to bless them and try and make their lives as high a quality lives as they can be. So with that being said, we want to go back to John chapter 8 today. John chapter 8, we have been talking about the way that Jesus communicated with his audience, and how he, in verse 31, that famous verse or verse 32, it begins in verse 31, that Jesus was speaking to those who had believed in him. And it concludes, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Two previous conditions in the verse, abiding in God's word and being his disciples. Verse number 33 is an interesting retort from those who were paying attention to that. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the people that Jesus was talking to. It was people who were paying attention. See, there were always people who were listening, trying to catch Jesus in something that he said. It could be that these were people that he was talking to, but they had. Verse 30 says specifically that he was communicating to those who believed him. And so verse 33 says, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." So that's where we're going to conclude the reading for now and process some of this passage of scripture. So Jesus tells him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And the response that he gets back is, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." One of the realities to bondage is the deception to the reality of bondage. People who are in captivity don't necessarily recognize that they are in captivity. There is a process, a program on television that I've heard of when people recognize destructive behavior in one of their family members and they gather the whole family together and they call it an intervention. And most of the time, the people who, I've never watched the program, so I'm just telling you, you know, what the premise is. Most of the time, people don't realize how desperately in bondage they are. It's, and their family doesn't want them in bondage. They don't want them in a substance bondage, be it alcohol or gambling or drugs or whatever it might be. They don't want their people, their loved ones in bondage. And it is that emotional care, that concern, it's what causes people to lose touch with God's word and begin to change their theology because they feel so strongly towards their loved ones or their family members. That's why it is so hard for people to grasp that there is a reality of heaven, but there is also a reality of hell. We tend to think that because we care about somebody that they are going to heaven. The only way to go to heaven is not to be related to me. It is to be forgiven by Jesus Christ. I can like you. I can think you are a tremendous person. That's not going to get you into heaven. You could like me and think that I'm a tremendous person. That won't get me into heaven. It has nothing to do with whether or not we love one another. It is whether or not we will respond in a favorable manner to the forgiveness that is available through the blood of Jesus Christ. Here, the people, they forget their theology, they forget their history. They said, "We are," they forget their current reality and say, "We have never been in bondage to anyone. We are Abraham's descendants." And in doing so, they forget about the time, the 400 plus years that they spent in bondage in Egypt. They forget the times of oppression, the years, decades of oppression that we read about in the book of Judges. They forget about the times that they were carried off captive into Babylon and were there for 7 decades. And they forget the present reality that they are in occupied Israel. It is occupied by Rome. Rome is the one in power. Rome is the one that is dictating the terms of what can and cannot be done. And so they deny their present reality for the theory, for the thought that they are still free. Listen, I can tell myself I'm free all day long, but if I'm not free, the reality is I'm not free. And for you and I, we need first, before we will accept Jesus' offer to make room for his word, abide in it, become his disciples, know the truth, and the truth make us free, we have to come to grips with the fact that we are in bondage to sin. And a lot of people don't want to hear that they're sinners. Folks, listen, this preacher, apart from Jesus Christ, is a sinner. Every person at our church has had to be forgiven of something. One of the lies that the devil says is, you know, if you were, you know, because we're a small church, you know, we're 50 to 60 most of the time right now, you know, attendance fluctuates up and down a little bit because of vacations and travel schedules and all of that. So you might see us with fewer, you might see us with more, whatever. But every person in our church, you know, if somebody responds to an altar call, the devil will say, oh, everybody's going to think horrible of you. No, that's not the reality at all. We're going to celebrate the eyes of reality being opened in your life to see the lordship of Jesus Christ and the depravity of our own lives, and saying, you know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. And I am going to make an eternal life choice right now. I'm going to cancel my separation from God for all of eternity. And I'm going to make my reservation at the banquet seat of the marriage supper of the Lamb. That we rejoice over that. We celebrate. We don't make a spectacle out of them, but we all pray and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, we're just thankful. I've been reading a book of statistics and as far as church statistics, and it talks about how many people should be getting saved or on average get saved in a church, and you know, depending upon the size. And we're thankful that that more people get saved than what the statistics show. We're very thankful for that. We rejoice. We celebrate. And so they denied their own reality and asked them, how can you say you will be made free? Another deception for people who are in bondage is that they are so entrenched in bondage, so entrenched in it, in such deep captivity that there's no hope that they will ever be set free. And I want you to know that Jesus is the hope of glory. It doesn't matter how far down the dungeon goes, he's able to reach down there and to pull you up. And you know, I could point to people in our congregation. I know people's testimonies, and some of them share it with more frequency than others. But I can tell you this, just about if you have a stronghold, there's somebody in our church that's been delivered from that stronghold. And so we're very, very thankful for that. When I've done jail ministry and prison ministry, and you realize you're going into an environment that is a highly controlled environment. And I tell my congregation that when I did that, the thing that made me the most excited was when they opened the doors to let me leave. But you know what? When I was in that prison, even though I wasn't a prisoner, I had to follow their rules. I had to follow their terms. I was allowed to serve there. I was allowed to minister there on their terms. I've done some military retirement ceremonies in some very, very secure facilities. One of the most secure facilities I've ever been in my life. They weighed me coming in and they weighed me going out. And so when I had to type in a secure password that they gave me. And, you know, unlike what you would see in the movies where the pattern stays the same and the numbers are always in the same spot, the images move to different spots on the screen each and every time. So you wouldn't be able to just look at fingerprints or anything like that. It was a very, very secure facility. I was thankful when they opened the doors and let me get out. I wanted to be back out where I could experience freedom, that I wasn't concerned whether I was going to wander into forbidden territory, not knowing it was forbidden territory. I wanted to be out on the land and the civilization where I was free to do whatever God wanted me to do. That was freedom for me. And so it says, we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? If you are in a bondage today, I want to tell you, Jesus hasn't changed his message. It is still the same. Jesus answered them, and I will tell you this, that whatever questions you might have, Jesus has the answers. Maybe a week or so ago, someone asked me a question, and I gave them an answer. And it was one of my witty answers. It was kind of we had gone to lunch and coming back, and he was asking a question, and there were two possible answers that he was given, that he gave to me, and I answered yes. And he said, "What does that mean?" And I said, "That's a question where one of those two answers is correct, but I don't know the answer. You can ask me questions, and I might not know the answer. Now, if you ask me a question and I don't know it, not only will I not only tell you that I don't know it, I will do my best to try and find out that answer." And so if you have a question, if you've got a problem, if you have something that you are striving to understand, ask Jesus. He knows the answer, and he's not afraid for you to ask him. He will communicate that answer with you. He says, most assuredly, in some translations, it would say verily, verily, truly, truly. What he's telling you is, I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me. Pay attention. I say to you, now listen to this. These are the words of Jesus. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And so what he is telling these people is, look at your own life. Now, you have to be willing to accept that the person who defines sin is God and not you. Okay? Us defining what sin is like taking a gun and shooting it at something and find out where the hole is. If we were aiming at the broadside of a barn, you find out where the bullet went in, and you put the target over that. That's how we tend to define sin. It's like, hey, look, I made the mark. Sin is missing the mark. God's mark is for us to be holy as he is holy. It is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. It is to live with love and holiness and compassion and mercy. It is to live in a manner that pleases God. That is what is holy. Anything that is apart from that, any other thing, misses the mark. And it doesn't matter if you miss it by an inch, or if you miss it by a country mile, if you miss it by a light year, if you miss it, you miss it. And so he says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And this is why we could say, make statements like this. If we were to walk around with you and observe your life, and you go about your daily life not really paying attention to the reality that we are there, you're just living your normal life, it wouldn't take long to find out those things which you are addicted to. Don't be addicted to anything. Don't be addicted to your telephone. Hello. Don't be addicted to the internet. Don't be addicted to work. The only thing that you and I need to be addicted to is to the presence of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so the devil will try and get you and I absorbed, whether it's in participating or watching something. He will try and get us addicted to that so that we are distracted from the primary goal of seeking the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when he gets us addicted to that, then we are in bondage. We are enslaved to that process. Now, here in America, I think that we need to repent. I think Christians need to repent. I think that we need to repent of taking God's resources and using it to fund companies who are then in turn utilizing the funds that we provided to them and then dictating to us a different sort of values and trying to replace our God with a different form of worship. I tell you, if I hear of a company who is actively, I'm not saying that corporations are, you know, all evil or anything like that, but if I find out that a company is actively seeking to undermine the biblical foundations of America, I'm not supporting them anymore. I don't do it intentionally, but I'm intentionally not doing it now. And so it's because if they can get you to where they think you can't live without it, they then have control over you. Here is a great reality that I learned several years ago. If you discover that you can live without something, it is so liberating. You know what commercials are designed to do? They are designed to get you addicted to a certain product, or even more, a certain brand name, so that you have to have everything that they produce. And once you discover the freedom that comes from that, if you find that you let me put it to you this way. There was a television program that came out some years ago, and you could, if you missed it because you were actually living life, you could watch it on their app. And people started doing that. And then all of a sudden the company or the channel that was producing that said, you know what? I think there's a way that we can make money off of this. And so they sold the rights to be able to watch the program that you missed, which you could have watched for free. They sold those rights to a different company, and you had to pay a subscription fee in order to watch it. And so it was a program that I liked, but once they took that away, you know what I discovered? You could live without that. You really could. And it's so liberating. All of a sudden, you don't have to be on their terms. So the devil's strategy is for you to commit a sin so that thing will be a leash and a chain and a stroke of bondage in your life. Now, listen, it says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. A slave does not abide in the house forever. A slave does not get to dictate his own terms. A slave is dictated to, he is not one who is able to negotiate. A slave has no negotiation leverage. And it says, but a son abides forever. There was a distinction between a slave and a son. In a small Jewish business, there was very little distinction between the activities of a son and a slave, except for this: the slave did what was told to him, and he would not be fully exposed to the entire array of business practices. A son was designed to be trained in every aspect of the family business. And so he would be moved around. They both were deemed to have very little rights until the father would say, this is my son in whom I'm pleased. Well done. And then at that point in time, he would be given greater freedoms and responsibilities because now he was a participant in the family business. Here in America, we often hear of a class of people called trust fund babies, where their parents are so wealthy that there is nothing for them to do. I want you to understand that that is not a healthy way to live. That is a great way to create an entitled person, an arrogant person, a person that is not going to be content no matter what happens. In the kingdom of God, there are no trust fund babies. There isn't a place in the kingdom of God for a person just to come and say, well, I'm a child of God now, and I have no responsibility. God said that for the people in the household of faith, that there were works created for you to do, for me to do, for each one of us to do, that he specifically designed, and those were created before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created the universe and the cosmos and this planet, he said, I've got a job that I want Bob Arthurs to do. And I've got a job for Joe and Susie and Lillian. I got a job for all those people, and I'm crafting them, I'm setting them up to succeed. You see, God sets his kids up for success. He really does. He doesn't set you up to fail. That's the devil. He set you up to fail. So, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So that's what we need to realize, that if we make sin a daily part of our practice, that it's going to enslave us. We will be in bondage. But the Son, Jesus Christ, came to destroy the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the strongholds, the chains, the prisons. He came to set the captives free. So which will you choose today? In this week of freedom, I pray that you will choose to know his word, abide in his word, learn to be his disciple. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the lie that you've never been in captivity. No, don't believe the lie that you're going to heaven just because you're a good person. I encourage you to allow Jesus to set you free and be the Lord of your life, and you get to enjoy the freedom that the children of the Most High God. To those who believed, he gave the right to be the children of God. You have a role to play. I have a role to play. In this week of freedom, let's utilize the freedom we've been given to do what God has called us to do. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you here tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I